Todd Starnes, Fox News Radio.
And on Wall Street, the Dow is down 5 points. The NASDAQ is off by just one. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Welcome to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660, your place for biblically informed conversation on issues that matter. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry and how you can make a tax-deductible donation, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now, here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Welcome into Calling for Truth. We're glad you've tuned in today. We hope you will join the conversation. Well, it's getting close to Christmas, and that means folk are out there buying all kinds of things. And it certainly means that Christians are out there buying all kinds of things as well. And I think some of the things that Christians are buying more and more, not only at Christmas time, but throughout the year, is what we might call Jesus junk. And we're going to be talking about that just a little bit on Calling for Truth today. What is Jesus junk? Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? What exactly do we mean when we say, I think we need to be a little bit concerned about this? I think we need to have some discernment brought to the issue here. And so we're going to talk about Jesus junk today on Calling for Truth. It's something that I've talked about before in the church that I serve. It's something that other evangelical leaders have talked about in the past. And a recent article was penned by Jason Jans, and that just brings the whole subject up again. And so we're going to ground our discussion in some of his thoughts and also some other articles that have been written even by folk who are not Christians. So again, we're going to be talking about this whole issue today on Calling for Truth. Kevin, I think this is not trivial. I think this is very important because, again, as always, the gospel itself is at stake, isn't it?
Exactly, Paul. All these different things that we bring up, you know, are we bring them up because of the gospel, for the gospel's sake. Well, you know, how does what is taking place in the Christian community in this context, how does this impact or what does it tell us about where the Christian community is at? $4.3 billion industry is now sprung up on selling items that have a scripture verse or a cliche or a slogan, a Christian slogan of some sort, attached to them. That's huge, the amount that's being sold. The bigger question may be not just that that much money is being spent on these items, but why? And that's the question that Jason Jans asks in this article. Of course, he's the site administrator or publisher for Sharper Iron, www.sharperiron.org, great website. We've had him on the broadcast before. And it's a very provocative article just causing us to question these items and what is our mentality behind wearing and buying so much of this Christian stuff or Christian junk or Jesus junk, as we've titled it today.
Well, that's right. And just to give you a little bit of an idea of what we're talking about, I mean, you can find items really in any sphere now that have some sort of cliche attached to them with regard to the Lord Jesus, for example. Virtuous woman perfume. Now, this is something that I mentioned to my folks about a year ago, and they were shocked. And every time I mention this to someone, Kevin, they're a little bit shocked. But nevertheless, virtuous woman perfume, it comes packaged with a passage from Proverbs. But what makes the floral fragrance distinctly Christian? Well, the virtuous woman retailer says this: it's supposed to be a tool for evangelism. Here's the quote: it should be enticing enough to provoke questions. What's that you're wearing? And then you take the opportunity to speak your faith. They've opened the door. Now they're going to get it. So this is how they market the virtuous woman perfume. We're going to lure people with perfume. You know, this is a, well, it's a sexual dynamic, no matter how you speak about it. But then we're going to use that as an evangelistic tool. And this is part of the problem that we're talking about.
Right. And we should maybe say in the beginning of the broadcast there that, you know, we're not saying like that we're against every time that the scripture is used or that the a slogan is made on a bumper sticker or on a t-shirt. There are some fairly decent messages, and we'll talk about, you know, how do we discern what's good and what's bad in these areas that are on t-shirts. Many people wear them just because they want to witness in some sense with what they're wearing, and we can talk about all of those different issues. So we're not against anything that, you know, anybody that has a Christian t-shirt out there, we're not saying that you're evil and bad or any of these things. But we've got to look at this and say, man, the thing is really being abused here.
Right.
And what does it say to us about ourselves, about why we're doing this? You mentioned the one, the virtuous woman perfume. There's another. There's scripture mints. There's candies that are sold with Bible verses on it. Here's one maybe hit close to home for some of our listeners. What about the Christian golf balls? That the scripture message is printed on the golf ball, and the reason is so that while you're playing golf with somebody, that they give for producing these things, while you're playing golf with somebody, they may ask you about the verse that's written on your golf ball, and this will then give you an opportunity to share the gospel message with your golfing buddy. And they throw in an added bonus to using these. If you're a poor golfer and you're spraying the entire field with your golf balls, don't even go looking for them. You might as well leave them out there, because by leaving them out there, you're not just losing a golf ball, but actually you're spreading the gospel, because somebody will find that golf ball and read. We've got Jesus sandals that says follow Jesus, so that when you're walking on the beach, it leaves the impression in the sand, you know, walk in Jesus' footsteps. So you can see, I've heard of Christian doggy sweaters. I've, of course, some of the ones that really cross the line, too, are like Christian ashtrays and stuff like that, poker chips that have Christian stains on them, these types of items.
Well, I think we've already sort of crossed into that portion of our discussion that indicates why it is that a number of Christians feel compelled to plaster their faith on anything and everything, and that is that a lot of folks simply trust that wearing Jesus junk will result in conversions. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that that's the case, Kevin. I think that that's something that we need to talk about, something we need to analyze. But listen to this. Jason Jans points this out. He said, when the L.A. Times writer, there was a particular interviewer here, interviewed the director of a new camo Christian line, David Lingner, the sales rep, said, I know where you're coming from if you think it looks like we're merchandising or trivializing Christ, but this is a way to connect. And so Lingner developed the Christian Outdoorsman line, including a camouflage print Bible cover. And, you know, there are kids who have Bible covers with their favorite sports team, you know, plastered all over it. We'll get into that, because I think that raises even other issues that we could talk about. But again, here we are, someone defending himself by saying, I know you think we're not only merchandising, which would be a question as far as I'm concerned, I know that you think that we're trivializing Christ, but ultimately we're really making a connection. And I just have to raise the issue, Kevin, are we making a genuine gospel connection when, in fact, we do trivialize the Lord Jesus Christ? I think we can spell that out more clearly as we go along, but it's a question, isn't it?
I think it certainly is. First, we got to talk about the selling of Jesus. You know, what would Christ think? You know, here's the one, they sell these all the time. What would Jesus do?
That's right.
Well, what would Jesus do about the selling of all of this junk? You know, if he went through this Christian book distributors, or the place that Jason went to here to see these things, and saw, you know, all of these wares, would he be in there flipping tables? Would he be making another whip and say, you know, don't turn my name into a merchandising item. Don't sell, you know, remember Judas sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver.
That's right.
Is he still being sold today? Are people involved in this just because they can make an easy buck off of oftentimes gullible Christians?
Yeah, I think that, again, you've mentioned this Christian Booksellers Association. This is kind of where, you know, Jason Jans was confronted again with the vast array of merchandising that goes on with regard to the Lord Jesus. He talks about, you know, clowns and stilt walkers and, you know, all kinds of folk there hawking their wares. And he just said, I was so overwhelmed because it was kiosk after kiosk after kiosk of people selling junk. And not really with the pure message of the gospel on it, but with cliches. Budweiser, this blood is for you. That type of thing. So, you may have a definite opinion on this strongly, one way or the other. You may fall the same place that Kevin and I do. You may fall in a different place. We'll take your call. We'll take your questions and comments. You may not be decided. We hope you'll stay tuned because we're going to talk more about it.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Hey there, I'm Marcus Buckley, pastor of Cherrydale Church here in beautiful Greenville, and I would love to invite you to have lunch with me every Friday from 12:30 to 1 on Cross Culture right here on Christian Talk 660. We'll be talking about the world around you, from entertainment to politics, and how to make connections with people who need the life-changing message of Jesus. Cross Culture with Marcus Buckley every Friday during lunch from 12:30 to 1 right here on Christian Talk 660.
First North in Spartanburg presents for the 20th year the Twin Living Christmas Trees.
Christmas.
Through a child's eyes. First North's 300 voice choir and drama team present an awe-inspiring portrayal of the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. 10 amazing performances. December 1st through 3rd and December 8th through 10th. Tickets are available now at twinlivingtrees.com or by calling 864-578-7411. The Twin Living Christmas Trees.
Are you captive to the sin of pornography, gluttony, gambling, or homosexuality? Setting Captives Free exists to offer Christ-centered hope and freedom to those in the grips of sin through accountability to Bible-based truth, resulting in the free enjoyment of life in and for the glory of God. Be set free by the truth of God's Word through daily Bible study and accountability. Log on to SettingCaptivesFree.com today and begin your journey to freedom in Christ.
If you have the desire to help a child that is struggling in school, STRIDES, a Christian nonprofit tutoring program, needs volunteers now to commit to 2 late afternoons a week to help needy children in our neighborhoods. Call Dr. Everett at 246-9898 or go to our website, stridestutor.org. Our children are failing, and you can be the answer. Please call 246-9898.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. We appreciate you tuning in today. For more information about our ministry, the Biblical Counseling Center, and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
All right, we're going to get a little bit further into our subject today, talking about Jesus junk. Give us a call at 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. You know, Kevin, one of the individuals who has actually come up a couple of times in this discussion is Alan Wolf. Now, he's the director of the Boise Center for Religion and American Public Life at Boston College. Now, he's not a Christian. He says openly he's not a Christian. I heard Russell Moore interview him about a year ago. But talking about these products, and he was at one of these conventions, and he, too, was overwhelmed by the amount of Jesus junk and just how far people go. And he says this. He views such products with bemusement, waiting for someone to remark on your golf ball or perfume is hardly a forceful way to fulfill the Great Commission, the biblical command for Christians to spread their faith and anoint disciples. I think Wolf says, I think they're fooling themselves. Now, again, he's not a Christian, and so he's an outsider looking in, and he's commenting. And we're talking about folk who think they're going to, you know, attain conversions. Mm-hmm. And he says, I think they're fooling themselves. I remember in that interview a year ago, he said, you know, I think beyond that, that it's a cop-out for Christians because they're afraid, apparently, or unwilling, apparently, to simply engage people in dialogue. Mm-hmm. Many of them won't open their mouths to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they emblazon some sort of a slogan across their T-shirt or wear, you know, seductive woman or virtuous woman, I'm sorry, perfume. Mm-hmm. And they think that this is, in effect, doing their duty with regard to fulfilling the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a scathing rebuke, particularly from one who's not even a Christian.
Mm, I totally agree. I don't think that everybody wears it for that reason. You know,
right.
Somebody might call in and say, oh, wait a second, I have a T-shirt like that, and I don't wear it for that reason. But, again, we're trying to analyze and trying to the message behind the message. You know, why are people doing this in such droves? And I think that there could be, as you just laid out there, this could be one of the reasons. And we noticed the same thing when we discussed the whole topic of evangelism. Remember, we talked about To Tell the Truth, Will Metzger's book, and he talked about all of the crazy ways that people are trying to evangelize today rather than living the gospel and sharing it in its entirety, you know, or a more full message of the gospel to people. I remember his one case, he said the fellow was driving down the road, and when he would see a hitchhiker, he would make what he called gospel bombs. He would fold up a track in a certain way that it would try to land at the feet of the hitchhiker. And Will Metzger said that all of these things, you know, just caused him to question, what are we doing?
Mm.
You know, whatever happened? And I think it is a scathing rebuke on the church as a whole that we have resorted to this type of methodology in order to share the gospel rather than the way that the gospel should be primarily shared, you know, with us just articulating the gospel in conversations with various people. And I certainly think it speaks to this idea that we brought up about cheapening the gospel.
Yeah.
That we're giving it, the message is poor at best. Merchandising is almost a given here. Anybody who disagrees with us on that, I think we could give them case after case. But certainly cheapening the gospel, is this the best that we can offer to people?
Mm-hmm.
Is a little cliche or a slogan? Don't we have more of a message than that to share with folks?
Well, I think you've hit on something, Kevin. We could probably actually, you know, mention a couple of other reasons that perhaps folk are engaging in the wearing and the promotion, proliferation of Jesus junk, and we'll flesh these out as we go along, but let me just get them on the table. It could be that some are simply trying to promote Christian community, and it could be that those who are the ones producing us and producing these things, and this goes back to what you were saying, at least it connects, it could be that there are some who are simply into pure commercialism. Mm-hmm. And again, I think we can flesh those ideas out, and then, of course, there's some questions that we can ask with our analysis of all of this, but I tell you what, it's such a broad topic, and there's so many things out there that it's just going to take a little bit of time. We hope our listeners are patient. Let's go to the phone lines first. Let's talk with Kerry. Kerry, you're on Calling for Truth. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
I just wanted to know if maybe we could include the pamphlets or some of the pamphlets in the Jesus Junk topic. I was at Cracker Barrel over the weekend, and someone had dropped several of the fake $20 bills that say disappointed on them.
Right.
I picked up several of those pamphlets and actually mailed some of them back because they were so, absurd. And I've actually gotten some nice letters back and even a couple of books. But I just wondered if that isn't something we should think about, too, because I think that's just stretching it a little bit with the fake $20 bills.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think so, Kerry. I think you're right, and I'll just give you a little anecdote here. And by the way, let me say, you know, I do believe that folk who pass those things out obviously are trying the best they can to reach people for Christ. I'm not going to question their heart. I've got a dear friend who lives in another part of the country, and he drops those $100 bills all over the place, the fake $100 bills.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me, Kerry, that most people, particularly those who are lost, when they pick that $100 bill up thinking that it's actually a $100 bill, and then, you know, there's this question, disappointed, and there's this, you know, little Bible verse or whatever the case may be. I think you're not doing anything with regard to most of them but making them mad.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to make people mad. We want to reach people for Christ, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, and Kerry, we had just talked about just the cheapening of the gospel message and, you know, asking ourselves the question, is this the best that we can do? I spoke about this, about tracts in general in our congregation for Sunday school, and I asked the folks to bring in tracts that they saw in various bookstores, or, you know, you go different places, sometimes buy low or something, you find a tract or whatever, and to bring them in, and then let's evaluate them on whether or not they actually are preaching the gospel, or whether they have shrunk it down so to such cliches that there's very little gospel in it. I mean, could somebody actually get saved out of reading one of these? And so they've done that over the past months, and I still get them, bringing them in on a regular basis, and we're just shocked to find out how little of the gospel is actually, or how the gospel is presented in some of these tracts. I think it's a real question that we need to raise within the Christian church, and we really need to look at these things seriously.
Well, I'll throw one other comment in, and then we'll let Kerry have the last word on this particular line of dialogue. I think those $100 bill tracts, just to go back to that, tell me if you guys agree with me. I think that there is deception involved.
Sure.
I mean, you're throwing it on the ground. You're trying to get someone to pick it up because they think it's one thing, but it's another.
Right.
Now, can we really use deception to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Do we want to?
Oh, I don't believe that, no.
Yeah. Kerry, I think you raise a good point.
Well, thank you so much, but I think you hit a good point, too. I think the church leaders need to instruct people, not just buy these in bulk and hand them out in the vestibule, you know, instruct people on how to use them appropriately.
Right.
Well, that's right. That's exactly right.
Thanks
for the call, Kerry. We appreciate that. And, and again, Kevin, a little bit later, if we have time, you know, talking about the merchandising of the gospel, I'll just throw it out since we're kind of, you know, having a circular discussion now rather than a linear one. You know, you've got all kinds of movies now and going to pastors and churches and saying, you know, if you can get X number of people to go to the movie, we'll give you free tickets. And now here we are functioning as advertisers for the movie industry in our churches, you know, from the pulpits. And again, this is part of the discussion, isn't
it? Well, they said that the reason that is taking place is that from a merchandising standpoint, from a bottom line, how much money can we make off of this? And they attribute it back to The Passion as well, the movie The Passion, that, you know, that Hollywood and other producers and, you know, entrepreneurs in the film industry are starting to say, hey, I just quoted the figure there, whatever it was, $4.3 billion, billion with a B.
Yeah.
They're saying, hey, there's money to be made here. And so they're even scooping up some of the Christian industries, you know, portions of the industries here, trying to get involved in those there. They got a lot of money to spend to buy these things, and they're buying them because they see that there's a dollar to make, that people, Christians, will buy into these things and they can make some money off them. I guess say one thing about tracts. I'm not saying that all tracts are bad. We will be giving out 4,000 tracts this Saturday at the Traveler's Rest Christmas Parade, and the tract deals with the Chronicles of Narnia. Our float is about the Chronicles of Narnia, and we wanted to tie it to the float, and it has a gospel message in it. So I'm not saying that all tracts are bad, and so I don't want folks to call in and say that we said that.
No.
But we're just saying to look at the message in the tract
to see if it's track.
Exactly. If it is actually giving the gospel message in a way that you can be happy about.
I too get
that. We were talking about the junk tracks, not the normal tracks that all was handed out.
That's it.
Exactly.
They're just tossed around. You know?
Right.
That's exactly right.
And by the way, the movies, when I took my son to see The Chronicles of Narnia, that we had to sit through the trailers of some movies I won't even mention.
That's
true, too.
That's right.
Thanks, guys. All right, Kerry,
appreciate it. Well, by the way, you guys are reaching in Hendersonville. Believe it or not, that's where I'm calling from.
Great.
Well, thank you. We're glad to know that.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. I love the Hendersonville area. Glad to know we've got some listeners up there. We're under a minute. I tell you what, why don't we just take our break early, if that's okay. Let's ask our next caller. Michael is on the line. Michael, if you don't mind, be patient. We'll get to you right after the break. We didn't want to, you know, squeeze you out right before. And we'll take a little bit of time with you. And, you know, Kevin, I'm with you. We don't want to pass out the junk tracks. Mm-hmm. I pass out tracks regularly. When we went to Russia not too many years ago, we handed out 10,000 tracks in just a few days. So we're all about spreading the gospel. We just want to spread the gospel.
Be right back. Listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. You can visit our website at callingfortruth.org, where you will find archives of past shows, Dr. Dean's crosswalk commentary, audio sermons, and other helpful resources at callingfortruth.org.
Hey, Upstate, Dave Ramsey from Miracle Hill Ministries. If you've finally decided to trade in that monthly car payment of yours for a more affordable vehicle, Miracle Hill Auto Sales is the place for you. They have everything from cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, and if you're in the market for a new toy, they occasionally have motorcycles, campers, and boats at great prices. Visit MiracleHill.org or call 864-444-9128 for details on their current automobiles for sale. That's 444-9128.
Hi, I'm Darren Smith, and I'm the director of Providence Biblical Counseling Center. Our mission is to promote the sufficiency of Scripture in counseling through training and biblical discipleship. At Providence, our desire is to help those who are hurting and to see the lost experience salvation and the fullness of joy in Christ. Because we have freely received, we are to freely give. Therefore, our services are offered at no cost. To schedule an appointment, please call 864-420-2688. That's 420-2688.
Southern Stone is proud to be a sponsor of Calling for Truth. Their greatest desire is to magnify Jesus Christ in all they do. Southern Stone has been providing quality craftsmanship and excellent service in many fine upstate communities for over 10 years. To find out more about the benefits of stone and how to achieve your custom look, call Southern Stone at 864-879-3008. That's 879-3008. Southern Stone, a proud sponsor of Calling for Truth.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. To find out more about our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, please call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now here are the host of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
All right, talking about Jesus junk and merchandising Jesus, and are we reaching people for Christ? Are we building community? Dr. Wolf, he's not even a Christian. He says that he thinks that Christians have false hopes that this stuff will change culture. He says the culture shapes you more than you shape the culture when you think about these things. He blasted Christian rock and roll. Now, again, we're not taking on everything, and I'm not blasting Christian contemporary music, but he says when he thinks of Christian rock and roll, his question is that the best you can offer? He wants something that's weighty. He wants something that's life-changing. He wants something that, gives the credit due to this God that you claim to worship, a thrice holy God. Kevin, I'm reminded of what Albert Einstein said years and years ago. You know, he did not become a Christian because he said Christians did not have the proper view of God based upon what he had seen. Mm-hmm. They worshiped God too little. Mm-hmm. He didn't want anything to do with it because of that. So talking about trivializing the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, we're going to go right to Michael here next. Some would say, well, with regard to Christian merchandising, you know, something with a Christian message on it is better than something with a secular message. One woman expressed it this way: if you have the choice, choose Christ. But here's what Jason Jans says: we are now guilty in a consumeristic society of weakening the choice between Christ and the world to a point of purchase display at kiosk. Christ is something more than that, I think, is his argument there. and we would agree. But let's talk more about it as we talk to our callers. Michael, you're on the air. Thanks for being so patient. Go right ahead.
No, it was actually God giving me a break to cool down my frustration.
Well, amen.
I'm going to try to be quick because I know there might be other people, but it seems to me, and I hate the word Calvinism. I believe in all the points. I believe in sovereignty of God. I believe Calvin would probably hate the word Calvin. You know, people following Calvin. But saying that, it would seem like in the Bible Belt, especially in the Reformed faith, that we've lost somehow an understanding of the true gospel. George Mueller once said that we are not out to gather the world into the church. We are gathering the church out from the world. And so with that perspective and knowing that God is completely sovereign, that he is a God who uses means to reach his people, that's the cause. He came to gather a people into himself. That's Ephesians 1. It seems like he would have to those means, such as prayer, serving, and all of these things. And it seems like in a culture, the American culture, we are so materialistic. We are so commercialized. We are so about getting results quickly that we've forgotten the message. God has to do the work. He says, Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then he says again that no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. So it seems like the first priority shouldn't be even handing out tracts. It should be on our face, prayer, weeping. God, move hearts. And then with that, searching the scriptures to understand, Lord, how must I reach my neighbor for Christ? Should I give him a candy-coated sucker that says, come to Jesus, please? Or should I just pray and seek ways to serve him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, weeping with tears for him to come to Christ?
Somehow you got cut off, Michael. Yeah. We didn't do that. I don't know if you're on a cell phone or what. And Kevin, I think he makes a good point. I wanted to ask him a clarifying question just on a side issue there, and he may have misspoke, or maybe I'm misunderstanding something, but I think, 99% of what he said, I think he's dead on.
Yeah, Michael zeroed in specifically, maybe a little closer to home for us in the Reformed community, and I don't know why, but this is certainly prevalent in evangelicalism as a whole. Maybe he's just saying in that, too, that in the Reformed community, maybe we should know better than that as well.
Well, that was going to be my question, yeah. and Michael's called back, and we're going to put him on the air here. Again, I don't want to turn this into another discussion, but Michael, do you think that most of the culprits with regard to Jesus junk are in the Reformed faith?
No. What I was saying there is because I could be quick to point out the difference between Calvinism and Arminianism.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, and I'm not trying to be offensive, but it seems like an Arminian thing to do commercialism. And I'm not saying all Arminians are doing that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying I'm in the Reformed faith. And I know brothers and sisters in the Reformed faith who are walking in the same mindset, saying God is sovereign, we must pray for souls, but then they're handing out all of this junk, or they're spending more money on Christmas toys or, Noah Ark action figures.
Yeah, if I could just jump in, I think all of us need to evaluate this, not just those who fall into one camp or the other, if that's what you're saying.
Yeah, definitely, all of us.
That.
And I'm just saying where I'm at. I'm seeing this because I'm just saying it grieves my heart because you got 2.9% of our money going to world missions. And definitely it may be a little bit more, maybe a little less. But then we're spending, what did you guys say, $43 billion on garbage?
4.3, yeah.
It seems like if we would take just one of that, 1 million or 1 billion of that, and send it more just to love our neighbor. You guys talked about it the other day, just loving our neighbor or loving our brothers in Christ.
Well, Michael, unfortunately, we lost you again. You must be on a cell phone, Kevin.
Mike,
go ahead.
Yeah, Mike needs to get one of those Christian telephones. No, just kidding.
Oh, goodness.
No, because that will keep the connection. I'm just joking with you, Michael. But we lost you on that connection, and your point is well taken. And I think even the point, I get it now, what you're saying about in the Reformed community, if we really are trusting in the sovereignty of God, that God has to do this work in people's heart, why then would we feel that we have to slap a little trivial little slogan on something like that was going to make the difference, you know, that God will do this work in their heart based upon us praying and upon us seeking God and upon us preaching the gospel and being faithful to all of the things that he's called us to do. So that's a good point. Paul, Jason Jans makes five items here, five questions that he raises or helps that he gives us about how we could evaluate these types of things. Do you want to go through those?
Well, I do. Let me just say this very, very quickly, because we've talked about the issue of folk thinking that they're going to build community through this. Now, I just very briefly want to talk about what we mean by that and then move along.
Right.
You know, we're besieged and we're marginalized so often as Christians, and folk apparently don't want to, you know, allow this to happen. And again, I don't either. But it seems that, you know, so many of the quote-unquote culture warriors, you know, what they're doing is because they're besieged, because we're besieged, they don't want to feel, you know, out of step with regard to the culture war. And so, you know, it could be that all of the Jesus junk makes them feel like this mighty army for Jesus Christ. You go around and you see people, you know, with similar T-shirts on or whatever the case may be. And, of course, we could go back and we could talk about the biblical way to build community, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and following, for example, the breaking of bread, prayer, fellowship, sound doctrine. I just want to point that out before we move along, because I think we've got to move along, but again, we just want to make sure that we put things on the table so that everyone can think these things through.
Right.
But what's the first question we ought to think about?
Well, I got to stop, too, because now I thought you brought up an excellent point that about that community that, you know, of course, Christian community is more than that, more than just we wear a similar type of clothing and we both have a fish symbol on our car. But I think that in our culture, you know, our culture, not in a bad sense of talking about our culture, but our culture just in general, people do express themselves by some of the clothing that they wear. They do, you do make some sort of a statement. If you're a Gamecock fan, we were doing that on the radio a week or so ago, or a Clemson fan, you know, people wear that and there is some sort of camaraderie there. So would we say totally that it's wrong that you wear some sort of a shirt that expresses the fact that you're a believer, that you're trusting in Christ, or you want to make some sort of a statement? No, we couldn't say that, and I think we'll delve down deeper into that on one of these questions. But we're just talking about the trivializing, putting statements on there that don't that give a false impression or that cheapen the name of Christ or the glory of God or the gospel as a whole. Those are the types of things that we're against.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, the poker chips, for example.
Oh,
you
know, those are
don't
easy.
Cash your chips in, you know, before you meet Jesus or something like
right,
that.
I'm not
sure. Exactly what they say.
Right.
And again, I have no problem with somebody who has a fish symbol on the car and a T-shirt, you know, that maybe has a Bible verse on it. But,
exactly.
but it doesn't have all of the other junk around it, like, you know, this blood's for you.
Right.
You know, for all you do, this blood's for you. So.
Well, that's a good one. How about this? Jason brings up and he says, here's something that we should consider when we think about doing this. Does the joining of the holy with the common compromise the message of the gospel? In other words, you just brought up, you know, like that's a Budweiser slogan. You know, this Bud's for you is what the actual slogan is, and they're taking that and playing off of it and saying this blood's for you. So Jason is bringing up the point, listen, if any of these things that we are involved in or are going to purchase have blended something that is holy, the blood of Jesus Christ, incorruptible, and all the things that Peter writes about it, if we take something that is holy and we blend it with something that is not just common, but even sinful in this life, you know, drunkenness or whatever, you know, shouldn't that cause us to pause and say that we're crossing a line here by getting involved in something like that?
Yeah, and I think that goes back to something that I said earlier. You're talking about blending the common with the holy. You know, again, your Bible covers, you know, you buy your child a Bible cover that's got, you know, Clemson Tigers all over it. And we question that. And someone might be apt to say, well, you know, my kid loves the Clemson Tigers and this is going to make him like his Bible more. Well, you're mixing two worlds there, and I think you are trivializing who the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is. Some people may say, well, you're just a stick in the mud. Well, listen, I have no problem with the Clemson Tigers, but I want to keep them in their proper place. I want to glorify God as I go and watch the Clemson Tigers, but I certainly don't want to mix it up and put the Clemson Tigers all over my Bible cover. Am I being too harsh?
No, I think that you're right, and so, I think that J.J. brings out here in a statement here, he says, well, how do we then interpret all of this you know, he says that I see a Christian T-shirt that has, you know, John 3:16 spelled out on it. We can't say that that's wrong because it is unencumbered by logos and cliches. I mean, it's just the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with that. It's when we mingle it with cute little graphics and we make Jesus out to be about as weighty as Jiminy Cricket. You know,
yeah.
when we make him out to be, you know, an icon, a social icon of some sort, a superhero, you know, then we have diminished Christ in the eyes of those that are viewing these things.
That's right. And you've diminished Christ in the eyes of those who see him. That's right. And I think you're sending a mixed message, and that's part of the issue. You're sending a mixed message about, you know, what is greater than the other, and you're sending a mixed message about your loves. Now, again, this is why I can say with full confidence that I can, you know, watch the Tigers, the Gamecocks, or whatever, and enjoy it to the glory of God, but I keep that in its proper place.
Mm-hmm.
But my ultimate love is for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the truth of the matter is, Kevin, I could care less whether or not I ever see another football game the rest of my life. It matters not to me, because Christ is all in all. Christ is King. Christ is supreme. Christ is my joy, my delight, my love, and I don't want to mix that message in any way, shape, or form. I want to make sure that what I'm projecting is true to who Jesus Christ is. Well, back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
On your way to work, tune in to Christian Worldview today.
I think with the exception of Supreme Court judges, that Christians are worried that their influence is not what it should be, and therefore some of them are mad, they're frustrated, and they're saying, you know, I'm not going to go support these guys anymore.
Listen to Christian Worldview today with Dr. Tony B. Weekday mornings from 7 to 9 on Christian Talk 660.
Listen carefully. Do you know what that is? That's the sound of someone being there. The sound of someone caring about a kid. That's the sound of a mentor.
This is Laura Bush. Help America's youth. Be a friend. Be a mentor. Just be there.
To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Darren Smith, and I'm the director of Providence Biblical Counseling Center. Our mission is to promote the sufficiency of Scripture in counseling through training and biblical discipleship. At Providence, our desire is to help those who are hurting and to see the lost experience salvation and the fullness of joy in Christ. Because we have freely received, we are to freely give. Therefore, our services are offered at no cost. To schedule an appointment, please call 864-420-2688. That's 420-2688.
My dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite. That's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can dress a soda can with his head. Cool.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship are dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. If you would like more information on our biblical counseling materials, log on to callingfortruth.org. Now here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
All right, we're to the last segment, and you still have time to give us a call, 1-888-660-WLFJ, Kevin Bowling and I, Paul Dean. We've been talking about this whole issue of Jesus junk, and as we noted at the top of the broadcast and quoted him several times, we've been grounding our thoughts in an article that Jason Jans has written, and believe it or not, Jason Jans is on the phone. Jason, you've been helping us out today. We appreciate it, and we're just going to let you on the air and say what you want to say. Welcome into the broadcast.
Hey, thanks, Paul. I just want to say thanks to you guys for, you know, taking a stand. I think this is the third time I think I've been on your program, and you guys, you know, we just seem to be concerned about things of importance maybe to the Christian faith, and this may seem silly to people, but I really believe this whole idea of Jesus junk is really symptomatic. It's fruit on the tree of far deeper root problems in the whole evangelical movement.
We've been making that point. I should mention that Jason is in his car, so he probably didn't hear any of the points that we've already made so far. He's in a car, I assume, out there in Denver somewhere. Is that right, Jason?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I just came through there this week. I was out in Seattle and drove back here to Greenville, so came right through Denver. But it's good to have you on the broadcast. We've already laid the foundation for this, you know, the idea of the merchandising and the cheapening of the gospel. But we've been talking about some of your points. We just talked about the idea of blending two worlds. Maybe we can get you to dialogue with us about this idea of the second point that you make here, that we should think about this when we evaluate what we're going to put on as a T-shirt or use as a witnessing tool. Does it smack of using the name of Jesus for the sake of profit? Why don't you speak to that first, and then Paul and I can comment as well.
Yeah, I think Christians don't need a lot of discernment to be able to tell that when they see the stuff on the racks at Christian bookstores, so to speak, that this is just cheap commercialism. It's just guys coming in, really Christian hucksters, I think, trying to just make a buck off of the name of Jesus. And so you get the blending of two worlds with people with Godweiser T-shirts that, you know, look like the Budweiser logo or whatever. But I just think people realize that the name of Jesus wasn't just good for your personal life. It was probably good for your pocketbook if you just learned how to spin it. And I think that's what's been unfortunate.
Well, I think you're right, Jason. This is Paul. Let me just jump in here, too. You even raised the question about some of the products that we're talking about. Why do we need a product that turns Paul's journeys into a board game? Why do we have video games that allow us to conduct physical and spiritual warfare using the power of prayer to strengthen our troops in combat and to wield modern military weaponry throughout the game world? And, you know, you've got all kinds of other things with regard to these board games and video games, and that in and of itself, it goes to the deeper issue that you were speaking about a moment ago, doesn't it?
Yeah, the sad thing is that a ton of Christians will buy that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think they think that somehow it's actually better than Monopoly. And so that they're doing something sacred, or there's some spiritual benefit in doing that outside of just a normal board game. And I think that's what shows really the true lack of discernment in evangelicalism.
Yeah, I think so. And again, you know, we're talking about not mixing the profane with the holy, and not conveying the wrong message and sending the wrong message about where our love lies. And yet at the same time, and it may sound contradictory to some, but it's not, we can certainly glorify God in a number of ways in this culture when we're involved in things that are not sin against God. For example, I love playing Monopoly. I love playing Trivial Pursuit, you know, when I have time for those things. I don't have to have a quote-unquote Christian board game.
Exactly. Yeah, we're tracking.
You know, that kind of speaks to the fourth one that you put on there. I'm skipping the third one because we've gone over it, I think, enough here to get the gist across. And I put a link to it out on our website for folks if they want to read the entire article that you wrote. But it says this, the fourth one is, do we really need to make everything Christian? You know, do we have to have Christian mirrors, and do we have to have Christian doorstops, and, you know, does everything that we do in this life?
Well, on that one was when I walked into the CBA convention, and it was the new Christian Cirque du Soleil, which is this new mod type of circus for adults that really is actually quite sensual and really has a lot of problems with it. But now they handed me these little invitations to the evening Cirque du Soleil Christian show, and they just assured me that they were all conservative people, so that therefore now I should go and attend it and patronize their event. And it, to tell you the truth, it just looked absolutely silly to see these guys in, like, leopard skin tights juggling bowling pins in the middle of the CBA convention. But it just tells me this is what people think is great, and And I just think it mirrors a really shallow, trite view of a great God that we should really be worshiping and be in awe of. And God is big and we are small, and we don't need to package him to make him look cool.
Mm. You had noted on here that Dr. Moore, the gist of his interview that he did while he was filling in for, I guess he was filling in for Dr. Moeller, but it said this, that I'm not nearly as concerned with the pragmatic argument as I am with the reductionist argument. This type of quote-unquote evangelism cheapens the gospel and reduces it to easy believism on its best day. Jesus hung on the cross and died to atone for our sins. To be saved, one must repent of his sins and self-righteousness and receive Christ, a bloody cross, a risen Christ, and a humbled sinner cannot be communicated in sandy footprints.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I also don't think this is as simple as an on-off switch, like anything Christian that's commercial is therefore bad, because we obviously have all benefited immensely from Christian publications throughout the centuries. And I think that's where you have to ask yourself, does what I'm about to purchase increase a large view of God, or does it cheapen who God really is? So I think we have to sit there and just not chuck the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
But the sad thing is I think that, especially in American society, where the trinkets are going to generate a lot of profit, whereas a good, solid theological book isn't going to, and so you're going to find some people that are going to just walk through those doors. And the sad thing is not that people are selling it. The sad thing is that people are buying it.
Yeah, I think you even bring that point out, that the Lord Jesus would have something to say, not necessarily to the hucksters. I mean, they're going to do what, their nature leads them to do. Obviously, he'd have something to say to them. But I think the Lord Jesus would have something to say to those of us who allow ourselves to be used by them.
Mm-hmm.
And that, too, is a problem. One other thing, we're about to run out of time, talking about evangelism, and, Kevin quoted you a moment ago talking about reductionism and easy believism. You sort of painted a picture with regard to the Jesus sandals. Here's this guy walking down the beach,
Yeah.
Tell us, how you illustrated that and what your point is, finally.
Yeah, there's these little sandals that say they have hollowed out on the bottom the words "follow" on one sandal and "Jesus" on the other. I just kind of threw out as a way of jest that supposedly some guy's walking down the beach and there's this girl who's in a bathing suit and was wearing her Jesus sandals, and he follows her footprints up to her and is convicted of his sin and knows he's not where he needs to be, and I kind of mock it a little bit, but that she takes out her little Avenger cube and leads him in the sinner's prayer right there. And I do it in jest to illustrate how ridiculous and how trite some view the gospel as being. And I think, too, some people think they're off the hook because they put Jesus sandals on. It's a whole lot easier than trying to develop a relationship with somebody and to share the gospel with them, to show them the depth of repentance that is necessary, and that they need to turn from their sin and turn to the Savior. So it's the outflow of easy believism.
Mm.
Jason, you comment at the end of your article here, this statement, it says, "I don't want the symbols. The greatest apologetic to a lost world will not be stickers and pens and tattoos, but rather a life that exemplifies Jesus." There's no way around it, right?
Yeah, actually, now that you say those things, I think I was fairly incensed when I left that convention, so I probably wrote in a little bit of confrontational tone there, sarcastic, but I would still back it up and say, yeah, let's be Christ. Not that we don't give out the message, but let's have enough guts to verbally say, here is the gospel, this is what it means, and the world's always going to look at it as foolishness. But we continue to proclaim it.
That's exactly right. Well, Jason, we're under about 30 seconds. I'm going to ask you to hold on the line if you don't mind. We can just talk with you briefly after the show is closed out. And
sure.
That's right. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is both the wisdom and the power of God. Paul says, "I didn't come preaching with words of wisdom, but I desire to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, that Your faith might not rest in the power or the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. We'll have something else to talk about tomorrow on Calling for Truth.
Thanks again for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. To contact us for more information about our ministry, the resources that we have to offer, or to make a tax-deductible donation to our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship. If you have enjoyed today's program, be sure to join us each weekday at 1 o'clock for Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660 WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers.